Whether you're joining us here in London or online, maybe you're at our Williamsburg campus or all of my folks over in Somerset, we're glad you're here. Big thing I think all of our church can celebrate together today. Just about 30 minutes yonder way over in Somerset, we're celebrating 13 years as a campus and a church. So that is phenomenal. I've had the privilege of getting to be a part of 8 of those, and I'm hoping that number continues to grow. So we're kicking off a new series, and it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your walk of life or what you've experienced. At some point in life, you're going to feel the weight that life can press down onto you. Some of us, we carry the weight of anxiety every single day. We're smiling on the outside, but our mind is not stopped since the moment we got up. We're thinking about all the things life can go wrong, all the ways it could go wrong, even though that a large majority of those will never happen. We're thinking about them. And maybe that's never happened to you, but for some of us in the room, we're carrying the weight of regret in our life. You can't go back and change what's happened in your life, but you're still holding on to that moment in time where you messed up, you screwed up, and you feel like you're the one that has to pay for it for some reason. For others of us in the room, maybe you're carrying the weight of unmet expectations. You thought at this point in your life it would look different than it does, and it doesn't look the way you thought it should. For many of us, we're carrying the weight of constantly trying to prove ourselves, trying to be enough for everybody else in our life, but we're never feeling like we're enough for ourselves. And here's the interesting reality about life, that not everything in life that feels heavy is bad. Like some of the best things in this life bring their own kind of weight. For those of us that are married, marriage brings a different kind of weight. That marriage is a blessing, it's a gift. That it's something we get to be a part of, but with that comes the weight of commitment. For those of us that have kids, the scriptures call them a reward, and to which I ask sometimes to the grandparents, I guess, maybe. But with kids, and I love my kids, okay, don't hear me wrong, but there comes a weight of responsibility. For some of us, we have a job so that we can eat and live indoors, and that's a good thing. But with that job comes the weight of expectations. That even blessings in this life can make life feel heavy. That life is full of good things. Life is full of hard things. Life is full of unexpected things. But one thing is obviously true, that life is heavy. And that's what this whole series is about how life can be heavy. And sometimes in life, we have heavy stuff that we have to carry around. And if you saw me walking through an airport carrying luggage like this, you'd think, my God, that kid probably hit his head on a fireplace or something. But sometimes we carry life in ways that maybe isn't the best way. Maybe there's a way we could carry it a little better. And we struggle, and we strain, and we fight to carry what's heavy. We grip harder, trying to prove that we're strong enough to carry what's heavy. And maybe, the designer thought, maybe there's a better way to carry the weight. And they provide a handle. Now, the weight's still the same. The weight didn't change, but the way I carry the weight changes. And in some cases, they're really nice, and they provide these little things with wheels. And still, the weight of the baggage, the weight of life, it weighs the same, but it's a little easier to manage. Make sure I don't fall on stage here. So the weight doesn't change when we carry it, but how we carry it can change. That how we handle the weight of life can make life just a little bit easier. And here's what we can be certain of. That life might not get lighter, but God will always give you a way to carry what's heavy. And today, we're starting, I think, with the one thing that's underneath all the other things in life. That this is the place where the heaviness begins. And if we can figure this one thing out, if we can get this one thing right and live with a better handle on life in this one area, it changes every other area of our life. And it begins with a simple question: who am I? And that is a question that this guy was trying to answer at one time. Not this guy. This guy's much taller and handsomer and much more eloquent in speech. But this guy. Now, that's me, okay? That's me. This is like summer 2006. And I see that and I think, my gosh, he looks so young. What happened to him? Anyway, this guy's just trying to figure out what happens in life after college. This guy, he's got no clue that one day he's going to be a pastor. Not an ounce of a clue. He's got no clue that one day he's going to live in Kentucky. He's got no clue that at this point in life, he's got more fingers than he'll ever have. He'll have less in a few. And he's asking himself, who am I? And then there's this guy. This is 15 years ago, okay? 2010. This is how I dress for the first date, a blind date at that, with my future wife. I'm not suggesting it was a good decision because we went ice skating. And at some point I thought, hey, a tie would be good for this occasion. But anyway, it was a choice nonetheless. But this guy, he's got no clue that marriage is under a year away. He's got no clue that kids are in his future, nor how many. And he's still trying to answer the question I think we're all trying to answer: who am I? I know what it's like to carry the weight of trying to answer this question, but I also know that I'm not the only one trying to answer that question, that we've all wrestled with this question of who am I? Because it's a question of worth. It's a question that helps us find meaning in life and purpose. And at the end of the day, what we're talking about is it's a question of identity. That everybody is carrying the weight of identity. Now culture, it tells us that what you do is who you are. If you succeed, you're valuable. If you fail, you're gonna be forgotten. If you perform and do all the right things, you're gonna be loved. But what happens when we mess up? What happens when we don't feel like we're enough? That we've not done enough? What happens when we end up exhausted and disconnected and wondering if you're really worth anything at all? Because here's what's true. If you don't know who you are, you'll end up carrying what you're not. You'll carry labels that were never yours to carry. You'll end up carrying shame that's already been paid for. You'll end up carrying pressure, all in an attempt to prove yourself to those around you. But there's good news. There's good news. That God never meant for you to carry the weight of identity alone. He never intended for identity to be something that you strove for and that you tried to earn. That identity, it was always intended as a gift. Because identity isn't something you achieve. It's something you receive. That weight that you're carrying, you're not the first to carry it. I'm not the first to carry it. In fact, Jesus would show up and he would share story after story of asking the question and answering the question of who I am I? And he would ask that and try to answer that for those of us who were trying to wrestle with it and figure it out. And at one point in his ministry, he would tell a story, a parable, that I think shows us what can happen when we try to carry the weight of who we are on our own. When we try to carry a label that never was ours to carry to begin with. And it's a story about two sons. One that would run from his identity, and one who would try to earn his identity. and neither of them knew who they were. And here's what I know. For most of us in this room, we've heard this story probably 100 more times. But I need you to lean in. Because what if today you thought less about how you know the story and you thought more about how you see yourself in the story? Because I think if we look hard enough, we can find ourselves in these two sons. Because whether you're running, whether you're striving, every single one of us is trying to figure out who we really are. And in this story, Jesus, he gives us a picture of misplaced identity. And then he gives us a picture of a father's heart for those of us who are trying to find that identity. And the story, it begins like this. A man had two sons. Now, the younger son, he would show up, he would wake up one day, and he basically goes to the father and says, "Dad, I know you're not dead yet, but I kind of wish you were, so can I have my inheritance now?" And that's a pretty bold ask to the guy that's like paying for the Wi-Fi, right? Because he could say no and just change the password, and then what are you going to do, right? But for some reason, the father agrees to the request. And he gives his younger son his share of the inheritance. And the son, he packs it all up in his suitcase. He has everything that he owns, and he just leaves. He heads off on his own to find himself, to see where his feelings can take him, to live his best life. And for a little while, he does. But it doesn't last, and it doesn't last long, because eventually the money runs out. Eventually the party stops, and eventually the friends disappear. And he ends up broken, hungry, working to feed pigs, and so hungry that he's desperate and eyeing the pig food like it's Chick-fil-A. But even then, he doesn't believe he's at a place where he could come home with the same label that he had when he left. That he feels that if he was to return, he would have to take on a new identity. And his only hope is that maybe his father would hire him as a servant. He'd run away. He'd messed up his life. He'd wasted everything. He'd broken all the rules. And he found himself at rock bottom. And at some point, he realizes that I'm not this dumb. I'm smarter. I can come to my senses. I can go home, and I'll have a better life as a servant. So he works up this apology to set things right. It goes like this: "Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant." So he returned home to his father. Now, the younger son, he represents all of us who believe that our worst decisions disqualify us from being in the family. The younger son, he believes his only worth is in what he has done. Now, how many of us believe that to be true? That we believe, somehow, we believe the lie that our mistakes disqualify us from God's love. But notice the father's response. "And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming." In other words, he was waiting. He was watching. "And filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son," which, by the way, fathers don't do in that culture. Men did not run. They only ran for war. "And he embraced him, and he kissed him." That the father didn't wait for him to get home and clean himself up. He's straight out of the pigsty. And he runs to him. And the son, he does his best effort to get the apology out, and he gets started. But the father, he cuts him off. He interrupts his apology. He says, quick, grab the finest robe in the house." And it's not just any robe. It's the best robe. It's the father's robe. And in Jewish culture, the robe of the father, it represented honor. It represented covering. It represented belonging. And the father here, he's saying that You're not a servant. You're not a stranger in this house. You're a son. And I'm gonna cover you with my love. You're not just forgiven. You're fully restored. And he says, get a ring for his finger. And a ring, it was a symbol of authority. It was a symbol of inheritance. And anybody that had that ring in the family, it was the power of the father to conduct his business. So you see that ring, it's as good as the father being there. And the father here, he's saying that everything I have, it still belongs to you. Don't get caught up on what you've already squandered. Everything else I have left, it still belongs to you. That nothing you have done has changed who you are in this family. That you're not working for the Father's approval anymore. You're living from the Father's inheritance. You don't have to earn your place in this family because it's already been paid for. And he says, sandals, grab sandals for his feet. In that culture, servants, they lived life barefoot. But sons, they had sandals. And the father's saying, you're not a servant. You're my child. You're not coming back to live under rules. You're coming back to live in freedom as part of the family. And the father, he didn't bring him back to be a servant in the house. He brought him back to be a son in the family. And he says, kill the calf that we've been fattening up. We've got to celebrate, for this son of mine was dead, and he's now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. The father, he reinstates the younger son. And here's the thing, he was still a son when he was in the pig pen. But here's the funny thing about shame. Shame will always try to rewrite your identity based on your past mistakes. If the enemy can't get you to run from the father, he'll try to convince you that your mistakes disqualify you from being part of the family. And here's what you need to know. You are not what you've done. You are who the father says you are. And according to this story, he calls him son. Now, it's easy for us to hear that story. I know it's easy for me to hear that story, that part of the story anyway. And there's a part of me that's like, at least I'm not that guy, right? I can kind of get on my soapbox if I'm not screwed it up that bad. I haven't run off. I hadn't wasted my father's hard-earned money. I've not messed up my life in such a way that I ended up in a pig pen like this younger son did. That's not me. I'm not there. But what if misplaced identity isn't just about running away? What if it's just as easy to get lost when you never leave home to begin with? Because while the younger son was out living his best life, while the younger son was out running, the older son, he was striving. And he was just as lost as the younger son. The problem was he didn't even know it. He thought he was in a better spot. Look at his story. He says, meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working, earning, striving. When he returned home, he heard the music and the dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants, what's going on? Your brother, he's back. And your father has killed the fattened calf, and we are celebrating because he has returned safely. And it says the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. See, the younger son thought his mistakes disqualified him. The older son, he thought his performance had earned him a spot in the family. If the younger son represents those of us who are disqualified by failure, the older son represents those of us who are entitled by our performance. The older son, he stayed. The older son, he served. He followed all the rules. He was a good little boy. But sometimes the hardest identity to surrender is the one we've worked hardest to build. And his anger, it reveals something about him. It reveals that he didn't understood, or he didn't understand who he was to begin with. He says, all these years I've slaved for you. And never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And all that time, you never gave me even a young goat for a feast with my friends. Sounds a little bit soft, don't he? I mean, just kind of entitled a little bit. See, his identity was tied to his performance. But he was just as lost as the younger son. And how many of us fall into this trap right here? That we believe somehow that we have earned God's love by getting everything right, by following all the rules, by not messing up too much. I know I do. And if the enemy, he can't get you to run from your identity, he'll try to get you to prove yourself through it. And here's the uncomfortable part for the older brother, that you can be in the Father's house and still miss the Father's heart. You can live with the Father and miss your identity as a God-given child. And the Father's response, it's almost the exact same as he gave to the younger son. His father said to him, look, dear, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. That the father, in the midst of a party to celebrate a lost son who has returned, he steps outside of that party to meet the older son exactly where he is, as he is, just like he did for the younger son. And just like the younger son, he runs to the older son. And his one goal is to remind him that everything I have is yours. That you don't have to achieve your identity. You receive your identity. Both sons had tried to define themselves by what they had done. One tried to define himself by his rebellion, by his mistakes, by his past. The other tried to define himself by his religion, his checklist, his ability to follow all the rules. But neither son could lose or earn their place in the family, because that's not how the family works. Because identity isn't something you achieve. It's something that the father gives. And the younger son, he tried to work his way back into the family. But the father, he ran to him and he calls him son. The older son, he tried to earn what was already his. In fact, the story says he got an inheritance just like the younger brother did. But the father wanted to remind him that everything that I have is yours. And that the only label that matters is the one that Father speaks over you. The label of son. The label of daughter. The label of child. And here's the most powerful part of the entire story. That neither son understood who they really were, but the father never forgot. The father's love is the only place your identity is secure. So the question for all of us is, who are you? Where have you been trying to find your identity? Are you like the younger son? Are you running from who you are? Are you trying to carry the shame from what you've done? Are you believing that your mistakes have disqualified you from being a part of the family? If you're the younger son, the father, he's running toward you and he's saying, "You're my child. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to rehearse your apology." Although apology is probably good when you screw it up, right? You know, ownership's a good thing. Maybe you should work on the apology. But you just need to come home. Or are you like the older son? That you're striving, you're trying, you're earning your way to prove your worth through your performance. You're trying to earn what God has already freely given to you. If you're the older son, the father, he's stepping outside the party to remind you that everything he has is already yours. That you don't have to earn your place in the family. That you don't have to prove your worth. You just have to come home. And the father doesn't define you by what you've done. And the father doesn't define you by what you've earned. He defines you by who he says you are. And the father is saying the same to both. Come home. You're not what you've done. You are not what you've earned. You are who the Father says you are. All throughout the scriptures, our Heavenly Father speaks identity into every one of his image bearers. And just so we get the math right, that's every living, breathing human being. He speaks identity into his people before they performed, before they screwed up, before they were successful, before they were a failure, before anyone else labeled them. He labeled them. And all throughout the scriptures, he's been telling us all along who we are. So today, if you're carrying the name of unworthy, the Father, he calls you loved. That I have loved you with an everlasting love. If you're carrying the name of forgotten, the Father calls you known. That I've searched you, I know you. If you're carrying the name of overlooked, the Father, he calls you chosen. That he chose you before creation. If you're carrying the name broken, the Father, he's calling you redeemed. That I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. If you're carrying the name of not enough, the Father, he calls you a masterpiece. That for we are God's handiwork. If you're carrying the name rejected, the Father, he calls you accepted, that the spirit you received brought about your adoption into sonship. That you are a part of his family. And if you're carrying the name of abandoned, the Father calls you child. That you are no longer a slave. You are his child. And he will get his best robe, and he will get his ring, and he will get you sandals, and he welcomes you into the family. That what the Father says about you is the only thing that matters. That you don't have to carry the weight of what you're not. You just have to hold on to who he says you are. Because the only name that you have to carry is the one the Father gives you. So today, if you've been carrying the wrong name, today's a day you can lay it down. Today's a day you can take that label, you can wad it up, and you can throw it away. And you can lean into the label that God has already given you. That you don't have to carry the weight of what you're not. You just have to grab on to what he's already said to be true about you. And today, for some of you, that's what you need to do. That in the next few moments, you need to take that label and you need to give it back to the Father, because it was not one he gave to you. It's one that somebody else maybe gave to you. It's maybe one that you've put on yourself, but it's not the one the Father gave to you. And you need to lean in to what the Father says about you. So today, as we sing, as we pray, maybe for you, it's right where you sit. You need to give that label back to God. For some, maybe you need to bring that label up to the front and you need to leave it right here and never come back for it. But for whatever it is for you, my hope today is that you would lean in to what the Father calls you. And he calls you, most importantly, child. Father, we thank you that our identity is not in something we have to earn. It's something that we simply are given by you, our Creator, our Father. So Father, today as we close out the day, I would pray that you would give us a boldness, that we would be willing to take the labels that we've put on ourselves that were never yours to begin with, that we would come and we would lay those down and we'd take on the labels that you've always put onto us as your children. That today we would grab hold of the truth that we are your sons and we are your daughters. And that today we would come home to who you say we are. And we pray these things in your son's name. Amen.